can make it, do it. Makes us honor, better, faster, stronger.
Campbell on second down and 5.5. Looks right, comes back to the left, going long for Gordon. He's out there and he caught the ball at the 20, at the 15, 10, 5, touchdown!
Unbelievable catch, unbelievable throw.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Takes the snap, Dalton back, looking near side, throws it, picked off, and an open run. It's Joe Hayden, and he's in, touchdown!
And now, here are your hosts, Vic Carucci and Nathan Zagora.
We are 3 hours away from the free agency frenzy. Rumors are flying hot and fast. Nathan Zagora alongside the voice of the Cleveland Browns from the PNC Bank, Cleveland Browns Radio Network. Jim Donovan filling in for Vic Carucci, who is tending to his wife, Rhonda, as she gets some work done on her broken ankle. So best of luck to Notorious and Rhonda today. But I'll tell you what, the names are flying. Jarius Byrd, Dante Whitner, Emmanuel Sanders, Julian Edelman. Where will it stop? The names are all out there. So Ben Tate, we've heard. We've also heard guys like Dexter McCluster, Andrew Hawkins from the Cincinnati Bengals. Lots of names being linked to the Cleveland Browns right now. Arthur Motes, the linebacker of the Buffalo Bills. Jim, right now it's speculation, but probably the biggest speculation of all is that there is an opportunity maybe to trade. Ian Rappaport reporting that it is very possible that the Browns make a trade for Darrell Revis, the cornerback in Tampa Bay.
Woof, that is big. It's great to be with you. And
it's great to have you here
today. Thank you
today.
Very much.
Yes.
It's like Christmas, isn't it?
It is.
It's like Christmas morning at 4 o'clock. We'll come down the stairs and we'll wonder what is under the tree.
That's right.
And I think there'll be something under the tree at 4 o'clock. I think the Browns will hit on something, you know, right away. One deal. They're big deal. They'll make a priority deal. Now, the Revis thing comes totally out of the blue, Nathan. I mean, it really does in so many ways because I thought priority is, and I know we have a ton of money, okay, but this would be a trade, obviously, but I mean, still, I thought that basically priority number one is Joe Hayden down the road soon, get a long-term deal done with him that's going to cost you some money.
Yes.
Revis would have to rework his deal at $16 million, I think, due this year, and have to come down off of that, I would believe, to make it fit here and probably any other place that he goes.
Yeah, and it would have
there's a Mike Pettine connection, obviously.
Sure.
I can remember that summer of Hard Knocks when the Jets were portrayed that year, and the entire show, that entire series, was all about...
Get Revis back.
Get Revis in here. Get him in here. I think they opened up against the Ravens that year.
Uh-huh.
To go in and play the Ravens that season in the opening game, and everybody wanted to see what they were going to do. So, I mean, that is fascinating.
It is fascinating, and it would be a situation where, as you talked about with Joe Hayden, you would bring in Darrell Revis, and it would mean that you're going to pay him north of $10 million. You're going to redo Joe Hayden. He's probably going to ask for $15 or so. So it'll be a lot of money invested in your corners. And with the rumors that now the Browns are so close with Dante Whitner, I've also heard the same thing about Jarius Byrd, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
But they're close to putting in a good amount of money at the safety position as well. I don't know that it would all be feasible and how it goes, but obviously we have till 4 o'clock. Rumors are flying fast and furious.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, I felt coming into today, you know, not knowing it that earlier today about the Revis situation and the intent or how serious that is, but I felt that we were going to get a safety. I thought we were going to get Whitner. Let me just tell you a story about Whitner. Through the years, you know, we've had an opportunity to get to know him, Glenville High School, Ohio State, and the Browns played the Bills a lot at that time in preseason, so we would see him on the field before games when we were going up there or they were down here to play in preseason games. He would always pick me out and come over because I remember him from covering him in high school and the day he signed his letter with Ohio State, and he would say, "I want to be a Cleveland Brown." He's wearing a Bills uniform. I want to be a Cleveland Brown. He had charities that he did even when he was in Buffalo that were Cleveland-based, and he really desperately wanted to be a Cleveland Brown. It continued, I think. He was disappointed that he wasn't drafted by the Browns, but he understood it. And, of course, he did very well and made a lot of money up in Buffalo. But he really had his heart here, Nathan, that he wanted to play here. And I think it's continued. Now, I know he did very well out in San Francisco, but I think given the opportunity once again to look at his life, look at his situation, and be in command of it, maybe he finally, that comes to fruition for him, and then he becomes a Cleveland Brown. Because I have to tell you, it happened two or three times. times that he would come up and talk about how he, you know, just pined to play for the Cleveland Browns.
And that's what you want, because that's one of the things that people don't...
I'm glad to hear you say that. Yeah, you do, yeah.
For sure. That's one of the things that the knock is, who wants to play for the Cleveland Browns? Well, Whitner, if he does, that's great. And obviously, if Jarius Byrd comes here, he wants to, that's great. It does seem to me, I have the sense, and we won't know until after 4 o'clock, but I know you have the similar sense, that it will be a move on from T.J. Ward. Now, if you go with Byrd, you're switching from T.J. Ward to more of a cover-oriented safety, a guy who's been a multiple-time Pro Bowler, rangy, kind of the free safety center fielder. Dante Whitner, a little bit older than T.J. Ward, a similar type of a player, big hitter, good against the run. Actually, last year was Pro Football Focus's number 5-ranked safety in terms of coverage. Did a good job in that realm, 6 pass defense, 2 interceptions. I saw him with the 49ers have a tendency at some times to maybe give up the big play, but certainly an enforcer and made some big plays for that team.
I agree with you about that, and I specifically, in one game, I thought in the playoff game against Seattle, he got caught sticking his nose in the kitchen a couple of times.
Yes, he did.
And got beat over the top. I thought that twice. I thought the 49ers had that game under control, well within their grasp, and I thought he got stuck a little bit short in center field, and, you know, the ball went over his head and into a Seahawks receiver's hands, and big plays went over him. Yet I did really see a very adventurous player, a player who kind of depicts the way people want your safeties to play nowadays.
Right. He's not as much an in-the-box safety, I think, as TJ is.
Right.
He can play on the back end a little bit better. But it'll be interesting, because that right now is the strongest rumor of anything that's been out there. The strongest rumor is the one linking the Browns to Dante Whitner right now.
Okay, I want to go back a little bit
to
one of the more effective free agent classes. This is a very, very risk and reward time of the year in the NFL business season, okay? Because you can hit on something, and then you can pay a ton of money, and you can be at the, you can find out a player doesn't have anything left in the tank, and he's just in there for a, you know, for a big pay hit.
Sure.
Phil Savage, 1 year, and you probably remember this. Remember the year he went right away? I mean, as soon as the deadline hit, LeCharles Bentley, Dave Zastadil, Joe Giravicious. Three players who were figured to come in, and three players who were figured to come in and be, you know, contributing, big-time contributing things. I remember when they when the Browns signed Bentley and came to a deal with him, everybody nationally said Cleveland won the opening day of free agency. Now, the other thing was, the other part of it, and this leans a little bit towards what we're talking about with Whitner was and is, that they were local kids, Giravicious at Lake Catholic, Zastadil at Bay Village, and Bentley at St. Ignatius. They knew that, you know, they knew the town. And now, we didn't never saw Bentley play other than the first play in training camp that year.
I still can't believe that
okay?
happened.
But the other two really got it.
Yeah.
Okay? And I would look into the, you know, into the future if Whitner became a Brown, and I think he would get it, you know. And that's something that I think is important, in especially in coming into this culture here.
Well, I think there are a couple things that he would bring to the table in addition to the Cleveland roots. Number one, he is a little bit older, and we do know that there is a void in the leadership department after DeQuell Jackson's been released. Number two, he's coming from a very much a winning culture in San Francisco.
Right.
3 straight NFC Championship appearances, 1 Super Bowl appearance. They know that one of the things we talked about with Ray Farmer yesterday when I interviewed him on ClevelandBrowns.com. You can check that out there or on the Browns app.
And I did.
Character, injury, and age. That's what he looks at. But having the character and changing the culture is very important, which is why you might see some guys that you might think are a little older, like a Whitner, on a shorter deal coming here to help get this young team headed in the right direction of winning.
And the demand out in San Francisco was they were physical offensively, and they were super physical defensively.
Yes.
I mean, they went in, they didn't care if they played you on the road. Okay, and they didn't care, and they loved playing you in San Francisco. They were a physical team. They took on all comers. They didn't care if they were going across the country to play you. Time zones didn't matter. They only knew one way to play. And he was instrumental in that. I mean, he was called upon that if you're going to play back there for me, you know, Jim Harbaugh being the me, you're going to have to be a tough guy. They were all tough. They were tough on the offensive line. They were tough as receivers, and they certainly were tough defenders.
And I was at the game when they played the Saints in the playoffs where he set the tone in that. Saints were actually going to go in on their first drive. Whitner hit him inside the 5, caused the fumble.
I remember that game,
and kind of set the tone a little bit. This is going to be a physical game, and what a game that turned out to be. But I also like the fact that Dante Whitner if that is the direction they go. And one of the things we want to do on today's show, because right now it is all about speculation, is hear from you. Who is at the top of your free agent wish list right now for the Cleveland Browns? Is it Bird? Is it Widner? Is it bringing back T.J. Ward? Of the receivers that you've heard, what do you want the Browns to do? Let us know, 216-578-0850. Of course, tweet the show, at Browns_daily. And one thing I wanted, another point I wanted to make about Widner, I like what Jerry's Bird brings to the table. Mm-hmm. Now, would I be unhappy with Widner? No, because I would have to think there would be a salary discrepancy between what Jerry's Bird's going to command and what Widner at 29 would command. At least I would hope that there would be.
Wasn't Bird in the price tag of about $9 million?
About $9 million. Yeah. That's what he's looking for. So the other thing I like about it is, remember, Deshaun Goldston left the 49ers for Tampa last year. They drafted a rookie in Eric Reed who ended up playing very well on the back end. So he's worked with younger guys. I think he'd be able to come in and work with Tayshaun Gibson pretty seamlessly if that was in fact the case.
Yeah, I think so. It's also good to get guys in here off winners. Okay,
and that's a very
changing the culture of that locker room. You know, those fourth quarter leads and how they slipped away,
right,
and the fact that it just became a dominant feature for the Browns, and you wanted it to be totally the other way. Then in the fourth quarter, if we had a lead, there was no way we were going to give up that lead. We were going to put our defense on the field. They were going to preserve it, and we were going to all skip away merrily with another win. And, of course, that didn't happen, and it became a bad habit. Now, I thought a couple of years ago when the Browns brought in Scott Fujita, after post-New Orleans, post-Cinderella ride with the Saints, I really thought that Fujita lent a great deal of intellectual know-how with, hey, listen, I was on a team that nobody expected to win, and we rode an emotional situation, you know, being displaced in New Orleans, the whole, you know, right, Hurricane Katrina thing, sure, and we rode that right to a championship. And he definitely brought that here, but he was at the end of the run physically. Fujita was. Couldn't stay on the field. And he was like a coach when he was on the field. But when you're getting a guy a bit younger, and I know, and Widner is a bit younger,
yeah, right,
you're getting a guy that comes off a winning program and will definitely be able to play. He's not going to be doing it from the sidelines with a baseball cap on. He's going to be out on the field. He's going to be in that huddle.
And he hasn't missed a game in 4 years. And again, even if you look at the age and you say, okay, under the old regime, it was clear they weren't signing anybody who was, you know, over 27.
Mm-hmm.
This team, and I think one of the things that Ray Farmer made very clear is that you can have a balance of youth and also a little experience who have that culture of winning, as you pointed out, to help change the way that this team reacts, responds, and performs in some of those clutch moments and hopefully turn some of those games that should have been wins into actual wins. We have a big show, obviously. We do want you to be very involved because that's what it's about today, the free agency frenzy. Coming up at 1:30 p.m., Scott Petrak from the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram will join us. At 1:45, we're going around the AFC North with free agency news and updates. Joe Reedy from Fox Sports Ohio, who covers the Bengals, will be with us. Allen Robinson, who covers the Steelers, will be with us. And Aaron Wilson from the Baltimore Sun will come be with us to give you Ravens updates. So we'll have that. 2 p.m. Eastern, Alex Marvez from Fox Sports One, he will join us to give us the latest news that he is hearing about our Cleveland Browns. And also in hour number two, we will play After Further Review with some free agency questions that Jim and I will answer. Again, 216-578-0850. What do you want to see happen today? What direction do you want the Browns to go in? How excited are you about what's happening? What do you think about the Revis rumors? It's pretty interesting because Ian Rappaport is not going away with this. He's saying that both the Browns now and the Patriots are very involved in this talk with Darrelle Revis. Now,
I could see New England doing that.
For sure, especially if they let Aqib Talib walk.
Yes.
That could be the replacement for Aqib Talib.
I mean,
that was
a team that you could definitely throw on. Browns did it. Many other teams did it. Certainly Denver did it in that playoff game.
Certainly they did. And the other thing you have to wonder, though, is if, in fact, it is true that Tampa Bay is going to cut Revis on Wednesday,
why would you trade? Yeah, why would you trade? Here's the other thing I think people need to measure out here today is that there's a balance here. There's an equation. What do you get now versus what you really believe you want in May on those three draft days with those 10 picks?
Shapes everything.
And it shapes everything. And it's maybe going to tell you what they get over this period of time, not just today, but over this free agency period of time, and definitely in this first wave of it. It's going to tell you then probably lead us to what they're definitely zeroing in on a little bit more specifically in May.
Right. And we also heard Ray Farmer say yesterday that he's not afraid to bring in a free agent at a position that he thinks has 2 to 3 good years left, say a Dante Whitner, and then also draft at that position to have your natural successor learning and be in place. So I think you're going to see the Browns take an approach where they're going to throw a lot of assets at various positions and create and foster competition to make sure that the best players on the field, nobody feels comfortable, because when you're where the Browns have been, quite frankly, with less than 6 or fewer wins 6 straight years, you need to change. You need to shake things up, get people motivated. So it is going to be an interesting day. We already got some phone calls, so let's hit a couple of them here. We've got Dino the Trucker. Dino, it is a free agency Tuesday. Welcome to CBD with Nathan Zagura and the voice of the Cleveland Browns, Jim Donovan.
Hey, guys. How we doing? Jimmy, what's going on there, buddy? Always enjoy listening to you on the radio with the game.
Oh, thanks a lot.
Appreciate it. Listen, I was talking, you know, that Whitmer... You know, where he's a solid ball player, he's a little bit bigger than T.J. Ward. You can't take away what T.J. brings to the field. I mean, I think T.J. was really coming into his own this year, and I think he's going to get nothing but better on us. And I hate to see him go. I like to see him stick around, and I wish the Browns would have made him an offer.
What did you think, and what do you think, is what's the biggest thing about his game that you like what Ward does and what you think they would miss if it looks as though it's going to play out that they don't keep him?
I mean, he got the fire in his eyes, and he's just, I'm sure you see it every Sunday he plays. I mean, his competitiveness. I mean, sure, the kid got hurt, you know, for the first couple of years here, but the way he goes about and approaches the game is fascinating, and I really think he came into his own this year.
Well, he definitely did.
Best season of his career.
You're right, and you know, Nathan, the big thing was the health. He was on the field. He finished the year. He started the year. He finished the year. Here's the other thing I liked about him. He was ticked off at one point late in the year about those those blown leads. I mean, then he kept saying, hey, this is unacceptable. You know, and I like that. I mean, you know, I don't like... You know, I'm not saying someone's got to go in there and rip the locker room apart, but I like the fact that the guy was ticked off. Yeah,
absolutely.
He had a heartbeat.
It's interesting because of all the players that we've heard linked to the Browns, and you know, the Alex Mack thing, we know where that stands, and we'll talk about that too because his agent made some interesting comments to Peter King yesterday. But we have not really heard anything about the Browns keeping T.J. Ward, and I don't know why that is. I'm sure that they have their answers. Perhaps it's the type of safety they want. Whitner, similar to T.J. Ward, perhaps a little bit better as a deeper safety. Ward, one of the best in-the-box safeties. And you're starting to hear that term about him as other teams talk about whether or not they want him and how much money they want to give him. Well, he's just a quote-unquote box safety. But he brought something to this team. And whoever replaces him, if T.J. Ward – and this could all be a smokescreen. He could end up back here. But if they do move on from T.J. Ward, whoever replaces him is going to have to be able to bring a leadership component. I think that's going to be very important because I thought he was one of the leaders of this team and is going to have to bring a little bit of attitude and swagger. Fortunately, I do think Bird and Whitner both fit that bill, and you hit such a great point on Whitner being from Cleveland, the desire to want to be here and want to play for this team.
You know, there was a nice thing going here with Ward because Ward was with Hayden.
Yeah,
Hayden
they were
was
boys.
With Ward. They really
That's
liked
important.
It. They fed off each other. I think that, you know, I mean, if it had worked out, and I'm not saying it's not going to, but it certainly seems to be leaning that way. But I think that the two of them together certainly would have had an easier time picking up that mantle of leadership that you're saying is empty right now with DeQuell Jackson, you know, being gone and now with the Indianapolis Colts. And I think that that's very apparent. I think that the two guys were ready to do that. There was a real good camaraderie there. I mean, they did a lot of first things together, first games together, you know, first Pro Bowls and things like that together.
Yeah.
That's all good.
And maybe after the fact we will get a better understanding of what happened and what the decision process was.
Well, you know, Nathan, I mean, there was a lot of eyebrows raised when T.J. Ward was drafted where he was drafted in a pretty and you're much better at this than I am, but in a pretty safety rich draft that time when he came out. But there were a lot of eyebrows raised that the Browns at that time went so early for him because the red flag was health injuries.
Right.
He had a lot at Oregon. I think he had had some in high school, too. You know, that he had some problems with injuries.
And that's what started playing when he played.
Playing that position the way he wanted to play it at that size.
Sure. And I think that's one of the reasons he's so strongly linked, by the way, to Denver right now to reunite with Tom Hecker. When we come back, we're going to take your phone calls, 216-578-0850. Revis, Bird, Whitner, what do you want to see the Browns do here in free agency opening up in just over just over 2.5 hours from now. Going to be very exciting. And also, we're going to talk about the comments made by Alex Mack agent Marv Demoff to Peter King. All that more when CBD, driven by Liberty Ford, returns on ESPN 850 WKNR.